Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scotts Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain, and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
Off the ball.
Who do you reckon are favourites between Tyrone and Armagh?
It's so hard to call. I think this one is almost impossible.
Have Tyrone done enough to be favourites over the All-Ireland champions?
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the ball.
In partnership with Rockshore. Bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own. Get the fact, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
And a very good evening to you as well, Keith, and welcome to everybody for League of Ireland Late Night. Once again here this evening. Great to have you along for what was another busy night in the League of Ireland. League of Ireland Late Night in partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie. Lots to get through. It is the May bank holiday, of course, and a double game week. So I have with me the Maniac 2000. That's Shane Keegan.
That's a new introduction to me. I've never heard that one before. Cameron, fair play.
That's it. I try to keep it original here. What can I say? And May
10
the
4th.
Thank you. May the 4th. Be with Johnny Ward. Good evening, Johnny. Can Johnny hear us there? I can't hear Johnny anyway. Can you, Shane?
Johnny must be on the bus again, Cameron.
Oh, he must be, yeah. He's doing the old politician's handshake across the bus there, I'm sure. We'll try and get Johnny up in a second because lots to talk about at the game. I'm assuming he was at this evening. But let's just go through what's happened in the men's Premier Division tonight before we get into some talking points. So Pats are top after beating Shamrock Rovers, or sorry, beating Galway United 2-0. So Zach Elbazedi and Keane Levy with the goals there. They were reduced to 10 very briefly before they managed to see it out, so Galway coming away with no points there. They overtake Drogheda United, who were 2 goals up on Sligo Rovers at the Showgrounds before falling to a 2-2 draw. No, not falling. I suppose they shared the points and a meeting of the two, you better not count them out, from last year. So honours even at the Showgrounds. Bohemians couldn't make the magic last for another week, unfortunately. So 2-1, it was the final score to Waterford at Dalymount Park. Cork City won. Shamrock Rovers won with how it finished at Turner's Cross. Derry City handing Shelburne a 2-0 defeat at the Ryan McBride Brandywell. While in the first division, Athlone Town 0, Dundalk 0 was how it finished. Cove Ramblers came out on top in that battle of second versus third. They're still third, but just a point behind Bray Wanderers. 2-1 is how it finished there. Treaty United were 2-0 winners over Finn Harps, and Kerry come away from UCD with a 1-0 win. If you want to give us your thoughts tonight, you can do so very simply. You're pretty much there. All you have to do is go down into the bottom left-hand corner to request to speak, and we will get to you as soon as possible. But with so much to talk about on and off the pitch, Shane, what were you watching tonight? Seems to have lost Shane as well. That's not good. Is Johnny Ward there? Okay, an interesting start to this evening. Let's have a look at what is happening in the tape. So, lots to get through and lots of talking points. I suppose for people who missed it, Rushi Littlejohn's interview with Eoin Sheehan is well worth checking out. And Rushi, of course, at Shamrock Rovers at the moment. And she was highly, highly, highly engaging and had some really good talking points on the state of the women's game in this country. She had a really interesting point about how the aligned calendar mightn't be in women's football's best interest in this country. In fact, might be a massive disadvantage in terms of maybe having loan moves between women's Premier Division clubs and teams in England and Scotland, which would be virtually impossible. We also had Hamer Hagrimsson up with David Wilson this week. Plenty of interest from a League of Ireland perspective there, which I'm hoping to hear your thoughts on this evening. And we will definitely get into the Athlone Town saga later on in the program, because so much after a week that was, where it seemed like everything was going to plan with the takeover and looking like a deal was at the end line there with a group called Tiger 11 to take over at Lissy Wallen. Rory Higgins, Keith Long and Ian Ryan all linked with the manager's position there. Rory Higgins, of course, now in at Coleraine. He's just taken over there, so he's out of the running. But apparently when journalists turned up to a supposed press conference at the Athlone training ground, they were turned away fairly quickly on Thursday. So we'll probably get to the bottom of that maybe during tonight's show. But we do have callers there. Thank you so much for jumping on, guys. And Shane Kennedy is our first caller this evening. Good evening, Shane. I assume it was a difficult night at the Ryan McBride Randywell for you guys.
How are you, Cameron? Just thought I'd jump on there. Well, yeah, I tell you, I'm struggling. I don't know if you can hear me, Matt, so that might be in the background for 2 seconds.
Your sound? Clear.
Right, lovely. Look, that was... I think that was our worst performance in 4 years under the gaffer. Someone had said to me there about 3-0 loss against Finn Harps a few years ago, but the level of those players, they could have reduced that. We would have been there till next Christmas and we wouldn't have got a goal. I think Kieran Lynch, to be fair, I don't know whether it was a number, because he just literally sat off, changed shape. They went there the usual leagues 5-3-2 and just sat in and let us make the mistakes that we made, trying to pass the ball out on the worst pitch, like the same for both teams, but you can't.
Yeah,
was really bad, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, looking at the goal scorers, I mean, there's plenty of people conceding goals to Michael Duffy and coming off second best against him this year. But just give us a synopsis. Like, you say it's the worst performance. What in particular were you disappointed by?
We just never looked at goal threat. We could have. We just never looked at goal threat. And McEnroy came into the team and Bowen started as well. But even like going back to last week, like you made the changes when you needed to try and get the goal, and you bring Ali Coote on the left and you swap Chapman and put him on the right. You made the changes at half time, but he left the two lads on the opposite sides, as in Chapman played on the left and Ali played on the right, where last week we just flipped it and we just looked more comfortable, Ali driving up the pitch on the left. But tonight he ended up bringing on Tyreek Wilson to play left centre back, and it was just madness. Like, Martin didn't start, and we just couldn't go long. Every time we went long, we just lost the ball. But we just never looked a goal threat. And I've been feeling it for a few weeks, like, that this system, this group, didn't win us the league. And I heard a thing from a few years ago that I think one of the reasons the gaffer always loved 5-3-2. Because I heard a whisper that he said no two centre-halves in the league is good enough on the ball to play 4-4-2. And that's the reason why he likes it. But I don't think that the league is good enough to play through the lines. You're doing it all right, like, but you got to look at that pitch. Just, and the team, like, Derry, they just didn't give you the space because they were camped in. Takes McEnroy out at half-time, so... Again, he took JJ off against Bowes for injury reasons, and he said that at the time that McEnroy played in the middle and he got us up the pitch.
Yeah, I mean, Shane, there was a mad stat last week that Like, Shells hadn't made a shot on target at half time, and they have been struggling for goals. It hasn't been free flowing as it was maybe at the start of the season against this opposition. Like, we go back to, I mean, it's the Floodlight game now, but Shells look so good in Talca Park earlier this year. It's on the one hand hard to know what happened, and yet I'm not massively surprised. Is that fair to say?
Did you say at the start that the stat was about goals? No, I think he didn't know you were back yet, I don't think.
No, I didn't. Well, we'll let Keegan in, given he's waited patiently there.
Well, fair play for Peter Shane holding the fort there. I don't know what was going on there that you couldn't hear me, Cameron. I could hear you, but no, fair play to him for jumping in and filling the void. No better man.
As long as there's like one Shane going, we're fine.
let him take that one.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of going to throw it straight back to you, Shane, in that I'm interested to know your take on the fact that, like, we have opposition managers saying at the moment that they think this Shamrock Rovers team this season has looked better than last year's Shamrock Rovers team. And yet, obviously, that's what, four in a row now without a win. I'm not getting the same vibe from you that opposition, on the compliments the opposition manager seem to be giving the side. Like, what to you, what's the difference between this year's team and last year's team at the moment? Better, worse?
From Rovers? Or Shells?
For Shells, yeah. Do you see this as a better or worse team than last year?
Oh, no, this is a worse team than last year's team.
Yeah.
In terms of being an attacking threat. I mean, there's no Will Jarvis in this team. There's no Gab Malloy. There are two players that would walk into any team in the league. We signed probably one of the most assists, goals, scorers in the league last year. Chapman must be there or thereabouts combined. And he finished the game in a six tonight as a centre midfielder. Like, I don't understand. He's not in the box enough. He's not around the middle of the pitch enough. Mark Hoyle, I only said this, everyone was raving about Kerry McEnroy, but JJ Lunny and Mark Hoyle won us the league last year. It was a position that we didn't really need to change that much. We need a defender. We have never replaced Gavin Malloy. Sam Bowen came in before Gavin Malloy, and he's not as good as him. We all know that. Ledwidge is a... He's learning on the job to be a fullback to a centre half, but we don't have time to teach him how to be a centre half. We haven't replaced Malloy. We won the league last year because of the first half of the season. I banged on about Will Jarvis so much last year, but we've signed a lot of wingers this year and they ain't playing.
I think Johnny's there. I think Johnny's there as well. Like, Johnny, it is interesting. Like, Mark Coyle I think it's fair to say now in hindsight that he probably was robbed in terms of not getting player of the year last year, but like, he's been asked to do quite a bit. It was him at centre back last week that is probably at least partly responsible for the goal that Shelburne conceded early on against Shamrock Rovers. Is he just being asked to do like far more than should be in his remit? Don't think Johnny can. Johnny hear us? No. I'll throw that to you, Shane Keegan.
Can I just rub in there for a second? I'd love someone to ask or to find out if we had our best 11. I don't think the gaffer would trust Mark Hoyle to play as the 6 in this system. He's great off the ball. We miss his tenacity and his kind of bastard like in midfield skills, the French. But
trying again here?
I don't think he trusts him to.
You can hear me now, lads?
Hey, hello.
Hey. Sorry, go ahead, Shane, yeah.
I don't think he trusts them to dictate the play from midfield the way we do. I think he might play him. If Mark Hoyle plays, we're going to drop off. That's just what I think. I think if we have our best 11 in terms of dominating the ball, I don't think he plays in midfield.
And Shane, when he took McEnroy off, because obviously he brought on John Martin when he took back, so did Chapman go and play out and out centre midfield beside Lunny for the whole second half?
No, he kept it the 3, but I don't know if you watched the Rovers game last week. Chapman went to the right and Ali Coote went to the left.
Yeah.
So Ali Coote, with their ball coming inside, and Chapman pings a ball across and Ali was able to drive up the pitch. Tonight, he left Chapman on the left and played Ali on the right. I can't understand that for the life of me, seeing as it worked so well last week with the two of them on the other side, and we needed to score. We were 2-0 down. I just couldn't get my head around it. Like, we need to go up the pitch. He takes Cafferty off with that after 75 minutes. He's trying to do whatever. He's probably tired. But that was the key one because it worked so well last week.
Apologies if you can hear Anthony in the background. I'm just walking home now because there was no Lewis. And with the day I've had, I got locked out of my house, basically. Got to Inchy Cork. My charger wouldn't plug into the socket. Had like a good bet that Derry City wouldn't beat Chels. And you saw the way they defended tonight. Was that the Galway United game? Moses, like, he must have. I don't know how he didn't score. Everything has gone wrong tonight. And apologies, Shane. Shane, if it was Shell's worst performance in 4 years, that's on me. But Jesus Christ, like, how has this team learned? How has this team become so bad at defending? Like, the goals were terrible. Terrible, terrible goals they gave away tonight.
Because it's not last year's defense, though, Johnny. Like, it's,
I know it's Paddy Barrett for me is a massive, massive loss. But, like, that goal, that first goal from a straightforward set piece, Duffy absolutely free at the second. And then, obviously, Bowen, bad mistake. But that was an awful performance, a bit I saw from Shell's.
Yeah, Duffy was the free man on the edge of the box. I think Meepo was picking up someone else, and he just, I think the modern day football is to leave the man free on the edge of the box, and he just saunters in. But it's a great cross, to be fair. They know exactly where it's going, and Ferguson has to put it on the sixpence for them, and he does, and it's an easy finish. Like, second goal is not bad. Yeah. What?
Go ahead, Shane. Yeah, sorry. I'd say I've called Derry wrong, like, pretty much every single week. Like, I thought they were very, very good against us. Couldn't see them not beating Waterford, lost that. And tonight they look to be good again. What did you make of them, Shane?
They just sat in. I don't know. They yeah, they just sat in and parked the ball. They just sat in and let us have the ball, and that was it, and let go, and they make the mistakes. Two of the goals came from us giving the ball away in midfield, and they were in on goal. Second one was suicidal football, like, but no. Anyway, lads, I let you go and do your thing. I just come down there, and Johnny's going to go and have his chat about Galway misery and fortune.
No, you're as good, Shane Kennedy, for jumping on. And listen, if you fire on your IBAN, I'll give you the co-host fee in a couple of weeks' time. Thanks so much.
All right, I'm surrounded by trees.
Best of luck.
Thanks, lads.
I was genuinely afraid, Cameron, I was going to get run over by a car, because for 15 minutes of the show, my ear pods just would not work. And, like, apologies if there's noise there, but it has just been one. It's a first world problem. It's just been one of them evenings, one of those days. And if you're Moses Dyer, it was one of those days in Inchy Cork. Like, he missed, I don't know how he missed the chance. It was like half an hour gone. Keen Byrne plays this lovely ball. Pats have been on top, but not much in the game. Keen Byrne dinks this lovely ball down the right. Essua's in, takes as much time as he needs. Did everything right, plays it across the goal. I'd say he's about 6 yards out, maybe, Moses Dyer, and he's kind of, the ball is kind of going slightly behind him, but it's basically an open goal. And I'm like, here we go. He just misses the contact. Pats get two goals, one from a deflection. Moses had chance second half. Galway United absolutely peppered the Pats goal, just couldn't score. And it was one of these weird nights where, like, I wasn't impressed with Pats particularly at all, but they're top of the table.
Cameron, right? I'm listening to Johnny, right, and I feel the need to back him up. And here's why I feel the need to back him up. There could be a little bit of a boy who cried wolf thing here with Johnny, in that Johnny always tells us Galway are the better team and Galway were brilliant. And then on an occasion where they actually were the better team, we might have some listeners going, ah, that's just Johnny talking up Galway. So here you go, Johnny. This is your go-to... this is your go-to line for the rest of the weekend. Mm. Expected goals in the match tonight.
I saw it.
Pats 0.46. Galway 3.21.
Oh, man.
How do you not score from 3.21 XG?
Now, that is kind of slightly misleading, because the bulk of those chances, bar the Moses one, were at 2-0 down, and that's fair enough. Pats are kind of content at 2-0 up, and to be fair, they were sort of managing the game as best they could, but, like, the chances, and the Pats XG is kind of telling as well, because it was a really scruffy goal they got, Shane, like a 1-2 between Levy and Keane. Yeah. And then John Caulfield took off Stephen Walsh kind of afterwards, which is kind of, I suppose, was an abrupt thing to do, but he made an immediate change, brought Kerrigan in. But it was ultimately, like, I'm thinking, if Moses gets that goal, Pats haven't really been playing that well. If we're 1-0 up in this game, the way he's playing, like, he honestly, his XG alone tonight was borderline 3, I'd say. But if you watch it back, the angle is kind of from the Canuck side. It doesn't really indicate we're on the stand side. It looks like an absolute certain goal. And he just, whatever it was, like, he didn't connect with. I'd also come away from the game, like, I was talking to Keith Kelly, local journalist beforehand. I was like, would you take the top four? I'd take the top four absolutely in a heartbeat. And he was saying the same. But I come away from that game, like, the spirit they show when even, like, Sober gets sent off, but they were constantly battling at 2-0 down. And, like, ultimately, like, we look a good side again. Like, we played well tonight, and I would take a lot from the game, but Jesus Christ, how did they not score? It was just one of those nights.
Yeah.
There's a name for you, Cameron. The joys of the League of Ireland when it was Galway United manager Keith, obviously results weren't wonderful for me, so Keith Kelly used to regularly have to slaughter me in the paper for our performance at the weekend. The two of us were on the same darts team every Thursday night.
There you go. You got to park it at the hockey, Shane. And don't worry, I didn't not notice Johnny there. You couldn't even agree with him, and he was still like, you agreed with him, and he still didn't feel he was getting enough plaudits. So that's
no, but Shane is kind of wrong there, because I'm genuinely extremely unbiased when it comes to sport. Like, I'll say it as I call it. Like, I wasn't expecting Galway United to be doing as well as they are, and like an awful lot of games. And this is the story of the season. Nearly every game Galway United has played this season has been close one way or the other. Like, there's not much in it. You can see tonight, like, Bowes losing at home to Waterford, like, and Derry absolutely battering shells, like, and tonight, you know, we were the better side for much of it. The problem is, we're the better side when we're 2-0 down.
Okay, I'll leave that comment in the air there and let Cian come in as well. Cian, welcome to League of Ireland Late Night. You've been waiting patiently there. How are you keeping? At least I think Cian is there. Yeah,
lads. Oh, sorry.
How are you, Cian? Good. Not too bad. So, the floor is yours.
I was going to chat about Cork and Rovers, but I think I'd like to hear a bit more about Johnny's day, to be honest.
No, Cian, talk about, I mean, how do Rovers not beat a very understrained Cork as well?
Well, the last four games, we've dominated first halves, and then, well, like, I don't think we dominated the first half against Shells, but definitely Pats and Bowes, and then second half, we just can't see it over the line, or we can't put chances away. But it's the second half of every game, pretty much, where we're coming unstuck. And Gaffney has a point-blank chance right in front of the goal in the first half to put us 2-0 up, and he doesn't take it. And then that's kind of come back to bite us in the arse. Yeah, it's very frustrating second half performances, to be honest. And I don't know whether that's down to fitness levels in the team, but you might take that because of how long Europe went on for the team last season, and they didn't have a pre-season, that kind of thing. But Bradley waited a long time to make changes. He started Green and Gaffney up front, who were both very poor. I know Gaffney scored, but the two of them were, I don't want to be too harsh, but like, they offered nothing really. And then when finally Burke and Noonan came on, Noonan was very bright, but Bradley waited too long to make the changes. Everyone in the away end could see we needed to make changes. There's a lot of shouts about change of Bradley, but it was kind of too late then. The momentum shifted to Cork.
I am surprised he did wait that long, Cian, to be honest. I suppose maybe when you're ahead, you're a little bit maybe slower to make the chances. You're thinking, look, we're ahead, there's not a whole lot needs to change. But, like, you know, it's almost systematic with managers now that you make your first either single change or double change on 60 minutes, and then you make your second interlude changes on kind of 75. So to see him basically skip that first kind of normal window that is used and hold off until, I'm looking down at here, 75th minute, yeah, before he brought in the lads. Like, you actually look at the Cork City change, right? Nevin coming in for Shipton on 63. That's what you nearly always expect. You know, somewhere between 60 and 65. That's where a manager makes his first changes. So, I don't know. You'd have to... according to what you're saying, it wasn't... Look, I had my eyes on Sligo Drogheda, so I didn't see it. But according to what you're saying, they might have been ahead, but it wasn't a fantastic showing.
First half was very good. Like that chance from Gaffney could have put it away, and that probably would have killed the game, to be honest. Cork weren't offering anything. But just the longer the game went on, I just don't know about the midfielder or whether it has the legs to dominate for a full game.
Well, on that, Keane, you're into your fitness, right? How does Stephen Bradley manage this bizarre situation where one season basically just rolled into the next? I'm not sure how anyone does this whilst kind of maintaining that push at the end of last season and then somehow being fresh for 10 months this year.
Yeah, no, it's very tough, but like probably, you know, they're what, 2 points off the top. So, you know, they're probably managing it quite well. However, they need to find a way to be able to see out games or raise the levels in the second half. And off the back of the last three games, waiting that long to make changes makes no sense whatsoever, especially when you have two lads up front who can't move that well anymore. Like, they were really poor. It's very frustrating to watch Gaffney and Green at the moment. I think they're a season or two past Rovers' level. He needs to freshen up that position. And then, you know, you're relying on a 16-year-old then or 17-year-old then to come on off the bench. So it's troubling that we can't finish teams off when we get chances. And then, you know, Gaffney and Green, they really offered nothing in the second half, zero. Like, couldn't hold the ball up. So that's for me is a big part of it, not having a centre forward.
Yeah, look, that's no surprise. I think we all felt it was a case of when, not if, they'd sign a centre forward in pre-season. You just kept expecting something to happen. Yeah, really, you know, it's kind of, I suppose last year we were saying that we were all very, very surprised that they hadn't gone and signed a top-name goalkeeper. They have done that this time round, but this time round we were more so asking the questions that we thought they'd absolutely have to go and sign the top-name centre-forward. And it is surprising, Johnny, that they've headed into the season without a fresh face in attack. And like Keane has said, so much on the shoulders of young Noonan, really.
Yeah, and I think it was obviously a tough day for Michael, but I do feel he's a proper prospect. And like, Rovers will probably say, okay, as Keane says there, we're kind of grand because like the table is fine. But like, the problem is tonight, you look at tonight, Sligo Rovers are bottom, right? They draw against the top team, Drogheda, who they've somehow scored more goals than going into tonight and still have. Waterford are down there with Cork City. They win at Bowes and Cork City draw against Shamrock Rovers. So it's kind of like, I wouldn't have said Pats were, if Pats had a scorecard at the moment, that they might be like a B-. Like, they haven't really gotten going yet. Derry looked to be kind of getting there, and then obviously if Shells, like Rovers will say we're kind of managing things, but like there are a load of other teams who can say, well, we should be definitely improving here. And like, it is a bit bizarre, as Keane says, that you're relying on two lads combined age, give or take, of 70 up front at this stage. It's, I don't know, especially with all the money Rovers have.
It would have made a lot more sense to have either one of Gaffney and Green, Noonan, and then, you know, bringing in maybe kind of a striker who's around 25, 26, 27 years of age. Like, and you have that mix of experience, the youth of Noonan, and then someone who can, you know, who has the legs maybe. But yeah, just keeping the two of them on just doesn't make sense.
And yet, Keane, I'm looking and I'm like, there's a hell of a chance that in 2 weeks' time, there's a hell of a chance you're back top of the table. Like,
yeah,
your next three games: home to Sligo, home to Drogheda, away to Waterford. I mean, you know, with the quality that you have, it's absolutely capable to go and win all three of those, or at least take 7 points from nine. And do everybody else is tripping up around you, you know, similar to what. Johnny
and there's every chance, Shane, they won't win any of them. Like, it's honestly so mad. Yeah. I wouldn't fancy Rovers. Certainly wouldn't be all that confident about them beating Drogheda, and maybe the other two as well. But I don't know. This league is just completely insane. We're 14 games in, and it's hard to make any sense of it.
And a positive, it's so impressive seeing the young players there tonight. Cottle O'Sullivan was really good for Cork. Victor, when he came on, Jesus, he's some player. I would love to see a lot more of him coming on
big
earlier. Noonan was brilliant when he came on. His touch, he had a brilliant touch and pass to both Danny Grant in on the right hand side, and he was involved a lot in the game. And also another great find is John O'Sullivan coming from the Rovers Academy in centre midfield tonight. I think it was his first start. He was extremely tidy. He was passing the ball long, short, getting it off the back. He was making runs in behind. He was popping up out wide. He was doing a bit of everything. He did have some poor passes and touches, but overall he was really good, and he's a he's another huge prospect for Rovers, so that was a positive as well.
Yeah.
Conveyor belt never stops at Rovers.
No, and we could see Victor at the Aviva again if Shelburne get their way and manage to get that Dublin Derby move there on the 13th of June. But Cian, you've been really, really good with your time. Don't listen to Johnny's wet blanketry. There are still positives. Don't let his day infect yours. We'll talk to you again. Thanks so much for jumping on.
Cheers, lad. Thanks. Cheers.
I'm going to go to Matters Bray. I can see so many people, so many regulars down below. Seagull Chat was floating around there not too long ago. Hopefully we'll get to hear from him tonight. I see you, Mart. I see you, Luke O'Mahony. We'll get to Aaron as well, because it's been, what a fight back from Sligo Rovers tonight. That was on TV, of course. So I'm sure plenty of you saw that one. But Owen is standing by. Good evening, Owen. How are you?
I'm good. I'm kind of going through this little process right now of like, conceding a 94th minute winner.
Yeah. You were, you made the trip. I saw, just having a look there, you went down to Cove for tonight's game. So what did you make of it?
Well, heartbreaking at the end. Obviously, seven in a row, and then to just lose it like that, it's very tough to take. First half, I thought we were quite poor, honestly. We just put too much pressure on ourselves. Got the early goal and then just kind of let Cove come on to us, and then they obviously got their equaliser from a little mistake. From there on, we kind of saw the half out to half time, thankfully. And then second half was so much better. I don't know how we didn't win that game at all, because Billy hit the bar, then had a great save from Martin. They had a one off the line from their own player, actually nearly went in top corner, had to play off the line. And then, yeah, just the end there from the around corner. It's one of those where it floats in, comes out, and the player just tries to have a shot, airs it, tries to play it out wide and gives it away, and they just go up and score. Couldn't get the red card from Killian, unfortunately, and yeah, it's just hard to process. But at the same time, I'm like proud of the team as well, because we've shown a lot again tonight in that second half.
Yeah.
Is it the kind of season really where if you're Bray or if you're Cove, are you kind of saying, can we just fast forward through the next two thirds of the season and just get the playoffs started? Like, because like it's impossible to see anything other than those two teams in the playoff, because I just don't think either of the two of you have enough to catch Dundalk, and yet you're miles ahead of everything else. So like, can we just get on with it? Like, are you just gonna have to tread water for the next few months and, you know, build and maybe get a few extra bodies in that could make a difference in the playoff push?
I think we just need to see what happens now these next few weeks with ourselves, because obviously when you come out from seven in a row, what's the reaction going to be like? We play Dundalk away next week, which is obviously going to be very tough. Then after that, it's Athlone at home, and Athlone got a good result against Dundalk, and you're kind of waiting for Athlone to get themselves going. And then I think it's Wexford or something like that after. So we kind of just need to see what the reaction's like. And if we could start winning, then yeah, it's just more or less get a few bodies in. Definitely up front, because we were missing Kinsley Bishop a lot tonight with Curtis. Curtis, it just wasn't really clicking for him. We brought him off, brought Billy into the middle, and then put Thomas Constantine out wide, and it worked really well. Thomas was very good tonight. But yeah, I think it's just now get through these next few weeks, see what happens, and then if we can get winning again, then yeah, obviously you just look ahead to the playoffs. But from what I've seen, we're definitely like probably third best team in the league. I think Cove is a little bit of a step up. I think Cove beat Dundalk in a couple of weeks' time. I think Dundalk are slowing down a lot and probably just need a few bodies themselves. So we'll see. We'll see what happens next week with us.
Yeah, centre forward, like you say, is probably you could do with more reinforcements there. I'm pretty sure Max Murphy, I think, is near enough your top goal scorer, is he?
Yeah, he is.
He's right back more often than not, I would have thought.
Left back now.
Left back.
And he's all of them are from penalties, I think. And then he's always one for trying one from like 30 yards. He had one tonight, he skied it, but he's always a culprit for like a 30-yard or one from the halfway line.
Yeah, you could do, like, when you look at the Dean Ebbies and Mikey Rose and fellas like this, if you could just get somebody of that quality in the nine jersey, that would that would certainly add another dimension that could really help with that push.
Yeah. I think Billy could also do the job in number nine as well. If we can get Constantine going and
back on form, because tonight was very positive with Thomas, and Billy is probably better as a centre forward, believe it or not. He's been very good out wide. I don't know how he didn't score. Like, his header hit the bar, and then good save straight after from Timothy Martin. But I think Billy is a good one. And then maybe we can get Feeney back if he's tired of offloading. That's one name I can think of. It's hard to think of off the top of your head in this division. Like, who would you need up front?
Yeah, there's not a huge amount of options right now.
Yeah. And then obviously Ferrazzi might be going as well in the summer because he's on trial at Zagreb. I don't think we missed him tonight. I think tonight was a game that really didn't suit him. So, but maybe we need to replace him as well.
It's great to see. Ages ago, we thought it was going to be very much Dundalk and the rest in the first division again, and how bad it would be for the second tier of Irish football if that were the case. But it looks like yourselves and Cove are starting to reel them in a bit, and there might be a bit of a proper fight now for the automatic promotion spot. So we'll catch up with you again very soon, Owen, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Thanks so much for jumping on. And safe trip back up to Bray.
Back to England tomorrow, actually, going up to Bradford.
Oh, wow. There you go.
Cheap flights, taking advantage of them. Thanks, Ryanair.
The jet set. Fair play to you.
That's it.
We'll talk to you again very soon. Cheers.
Bye.
Lowe's helps refresh your garden in time for Mother's Day. Right now, get 5 bags of 1.5 cubic foot Scott's Naturescapes mulch for just $10. Plus, select 1.5 gallon annuals hanging baskets make the perfect gift. Now 2 for only $15. The best garden starts with great deals. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 5/7. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, discount taken at time of purchase.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or Cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.
When life brings the blah, add more yabba dabba doo with some tasty fruity pebbles. Early morning meeting, blah. Someone brought the pebbles, yabba dabba doo. Run errands, blah. Head to the store for pebbles, yabba dabba doo. Fruity pebbles, less blah, more yabba dabba doo. Pick up Pebbles cereal today. Yabba Dabba Doo and the Flintstones and all related characters and elements. Copyright and trademark Hanna-Barbera.
Inspired by Judy Blume's groundbreaking 1975 novel, Forever, watch the reimagined coming-of-age series about young love by Mara Brock Akil, the iconic creator of Girlfriends. The epic love story follows two black teens, Keisha and Justin, as they explore romance and their identities through the awkward journey of being each other's firsts. Watch Forever, premiering May 8th, only on Netflix.
Okay, televised game tonight was Sligo Rovers at home to Drogheda United. And Aaron Deering, I assume, is happy with that result. Or did you feel that Will Fitzgerald should have scored and made it 3-2 at the end?
Oh, my heart was in my mouth when I was watching that shot going, but it was definitely Conan Byrne's words anyways, if he had put that in the back of the net. Just skimmed the post, kind of. Look, I'm happy enough with the point after going 2-0 down. It's good fight back. Just again, though, leaking two soft goals, especially the second goal, could have been totally avoidable. But look, you'll take a point and live to fight another day, as they say.
Yeah, well, you'll definitely take it when you found yourselves in the position that you did. But again, it does show great heart and great Great, why, Darren? Just, I suppose, for a moment, just to steer to the off the field stuff. Obviously, we're quite a bit in the headlines in terms of the AGM and the talk around budgets and all of that kind of stuff. You know, what has been the talk up around the town on the back of those newspaper pieces, do you think?
Yeah, well, I don't know if it was in any of the media, but it kind of was mentioned at the AGM that we were kind of missed out on about three players that we thought were going to come in on loans from a few clubs in England. And, you know, you kind of look at the squad, especially at the back, and you're probably thinking, geez, if we had, you know, an extra two or three players of real quality, it would really add to the team. Like you look again, the back line tonight, you're still young McIlroy and young Reynolds, like where Conor Reynolds has really stepped up the last kind of 2 weeks, but like we're probably going to be missing him soon because he's going to be doing his leaving cert. Like, so that's, you know, what you have going at the moment at the back, and it is testing. You know, obviously the budget restraint there, John can only work in with what he is given, and obviously, it's kind of more abroad we have to go because within the league, the wages are so high, and then trying to convince players to come out west is tricky enough when they have probably better offers or on higher wages in Dublin and etc. So, and then obviously, even within the west now, we're competing with Galway United, who obviously can offer that bit more money with their own backing. So, yeah. Yeah, other than that, I thought Lomboto actually kind of changed the game. I think if we had stayed playing the same way we were for the rest of the game, I don't think we would have got back in it. I think going two up front, it was a bold move by John Russell, but it paid off big time in the end.
Yeah, I am delighted for him, Aaron, because like he, you know, there was today's game last season, he was very, very good in the first half for Galway United, and he was taken off at half time. And there were sort of suggestions that he didn't train hard enough, and you know, he was kind of, I suppose he was sacrificed at times. To be taken off at half time is hard for anyone, and he obviously needed to reinvigorate his career. But I think he's he three goals now, and did he play well tonight?
Yeah, he did. Oh, he played really well when he came on. Like he basically kind of, well, he got an assist basically for the second goal because he just whipped in across and it came off James Bulger into his own net. So, yeah, he just, look, he added a bit of pace and a bit more of a presence up front because King Kavanagh was just all up on his own in the first half, and it was a very hard job to up against Conor Keighley and James Bulger, two big centre halves with Drogheda. So, yeah. I thought Owen Elding, though, like he definitely deserved his man of the match. Like even in the first half, anything positive coming from us was coming from him. He was actually unlucky in the first half. He probably could have done better with one of the chances he got, but he took his goal well, just arriving late at the back post, which seems to be a thing that he does so often now, arriving at the back of the right post.
Aaron, you need to have a word with young Reynolds and tell him to get his priorities right. Tell him he can repeat his leaving cert.
Look, in fairness, I thought he actually had a really good game himself, especially, I don't know, Shane, I think you were watching the match, even that last-ditch tackle when Drogheda were countering at one
absolutely
stage.
Absolutely brilliant.
You know, like there are the things that, you know, can basically win you a point in a game, and that's exactly what it did. Biggest problem for us now is obviously we have to go to Tala on Monday, and you know, with a small squad, a lot of the same players are going to have to play again. So yeah, it doesn't get any easier, but yeah, we'll just see. The big other thing as well is seeing Waterford pick up another 3 points, that's them 6 points now ahead. So it just creates that bit of a gap that you're trying to close all the time. But yeah, it'll be interesting enough. I don't know if he's seen some of the stuff. But obviously, Conor Malley was dropped for the last few games, but he came back in. Don't know what you made of his performance, Shane, but obviously there was a bit of a rift between himself and the manager, obviously over performances and stuff. So it was interesting that he called upon him then for this evening's game.
Yeah, and in terms of like making the change, was that just a case of bringing him back in, or was that forced to bring him back in, do you think?
Yeah, because Ronan Manning has been playing well in the last few games and he was on the bench. But what surprised me was the fact that even in the Cork game, like, you know, we're chasing a goal and literally having no creativity at all kind of in that game. And like, even with a couple of minutes to go, you get a goal back and you're trying to maybe try and sneak a win. And yet he still never brought on Conor Malley, who would be one of your more creative players. So that's why I was just really surprised myself to see him come in straight from the start today. But
I saw Wilson was not new sub fee as well. That's good to see he's fit enough to be back in the bench, but obviously just not maybe quite fit enough to see game minutes yet.
Yeah, no, that's a massive boost for us again. Gives us another option. Actually, I don't know how he's going to manage it now, because between Kavanagh, Lomboto and Wilson, like, that's three strikers kind of vying for one position that he usually only plays with one striker. So it'll be interesting to see how he manages game time over the next couple of weeks, because obviously Wilson did so well last year for us. Kind of very much a fox in the box type of player. So with obviously Will Fitzgerald and Elding, they tend to get very good crosses into the box. So Wilson's the type of lad that would get on the bottom of them or at the end of those. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
And I did find I heard you referencing Conan's comments about Will Fitzgerald there, and he's right. You know, he was right that he does need to develop that killer instinct. But he had a very good game though, Aaron.
Oh yeah, look, we'd love for Will to kind of add more goals to his game, but his work rate and his energy that he brings to a team, he'd be one of the first like names on the team sheet every week. And
fairness, like, if Malin is fit as well, like, Malin's a serious player if he's anyway fit.
Yeah, that's the killer with him, Johnny. It's just he just cannot stay injury free. I think there was a stat there, even now, obviously he came on in the Cork game and then tonight as well, but I think even before the Cork game, I think he'd only played three full games for us. So since he's joined, and that was the summer before, so it's just trying to stay injury free is just a killer at the moment for him. And when you're dealing with such a small squad, it's, you know yourselves, you need everyone available each week. Interesting enough, Drogheda had a couple injury blows. I would just wonder how it'll affect them. I know Paul Doyle went off, and then I think Markey picked up a knock as well. He had to come off. So, just interesting, because as much as Drogheda are doing well as well, and their squad, they wouldn't have much depth themselves. And I know everyone's kind of questioning, can they go all the way for a title? But when you have a small squad, it is the killer when you're competing with the likes of Pats and the rest of them with massive squads. But yeah, sure. We'll just go again anyways for Tala on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a tough one, and it's by no means a slow bicycle race at the bottom, Aaron. But we'll hopefully see more results, and there's no better person for the hard road than John Russell, as he proved last year. So we'll have to wait and see. But thanks for jumping on again, and we'll talk to you again, I'm sure, next Friday.
No worries, let's see.
We'll go next to Luke O'Mahony, who's been waiting patiently and can probably give us the skinny on what happened at Turner's Cross tonight. How are you, Luke?
Hello.
How's the crack?
Not too bad now.
It sounds like you're on the way back from Turner's Cross there.
I'm a Kerry fan, so I'm on the way back from the UCD ball.
Oh, wow, because in your profiler you've got the Cork City flags, but maybe that's from last year.
It is, yeah.
Right, okay, so Kerry 0, UCD 1, or sorry, UCD 0, Kerry 1, the other way around.
Yeah.
Apologies. Okay, talk us through this one.
We conceded for a penalty in the first half anyway, and we thought we were going to go down early again, but Tim Heimer made it safe anyway. and we got a penalty of our own, which isn't too often for us now, and we went in and scored that with Sean McGrath. Keller went off injured, looks like a knee injury, but we're not too sure yet anyway, so he wasn't able to take the penalty, but McGrath just about got it over the line. And then we were holding on so well, and then the 84th minute conceded another penalty, and Tim Heimer saved it again. So I don't know how often a double save is in the League One, but I think it's just an unreal night for the club anyway.
I'm sure, Luke, they won't, like, it's not necessarily that Kerry fans will be, like, having a chance in years to come about the night that they went and won in Belfield, but this actually, in the context of how things have been going of late, is a massive result.
Yeah, because we hadn't won since, I think it was the 11th of April, yeah. So this is only our third official win of the whole year. And, like, we're still only 7 points off playoffs. Like, I think if we can even just push up to seventh and kind of compete around that spot for one, then make the final push second half of the year. Like, this is a massive moment for us, really, because even just past experiences going up early, we might just fall apart. But it did happen tonight. Now we held on very well. I don't think there was a bad performance on the field, really. The one big loss is that Ryan is injured, but we saw that McGrath was able to convert there, and that Palmer's well able to drive through. I think Tehan's one of the men of the match, but I definitely give it to Tim Heimer anyway, like two saves and just unreal performance. His third penalty save of the year now, so it's just unreal for him and just overall for the club.
How's Sean McGrath been playing for you, Luke?
Yeah, like some players dip in consistency and form, but like Sean McGrath's been solid since minute one that we got him in, like last year, really upped it, and again this year now, captain's armband for him now this year, and he seems to be working really well under Conor McCarthy and Chris, so I think it'll just be the future's bright for him, really. Like, he's still very young, I think only early 20s, but goal tonight now, and he's one of the best players definitely on the pitch week after week. Like, he never has a bad performance, really.
Yeah, he's one, I'll be honest, I had him at Cove, and I thought I might lose him. But the reason I thought I might lose him was because he was that good for me at Cove that I thought he might go up. Like, I thought he might go and sign for a team in a bigger budget or a team that was competing for the top. I ended up losing him to yourselves when he got established, essentially, because that's the area he was from, and it kind of made sense geographically and a play on his heartstrings. So, I mean, he's an outstandingly talented player to be playing in, you know, essentially the bottom half of the first division, in my opinion.
Yeah, like there's a few players now that like are definitely well able to go elsewhere. Like, we really thought Ryan Keller was going to leave us last year, but thank God he stayed, because he's just been unreal again this year. And like you said there, McGrath is definitely capable of more, but I think a lot of these players, like you said, like being in their local area, like a bit of like being home. And I think that if they can make this team into something great, it'll just feel that bit more special.
Yeah, yeah, it's looking good. I mean, How much of a blow in terms of just the morale around just Mount Hawk Park was, you know, those deducted points and the fact that a win at the start of the season was chalked off, and maybe you thought, oh, is this going to be, or are we just not going to get the rub of the green? It seems like you're putting together a couple of wins now, and suddenly like, things are looking up for Kerry in terms of the progress that they're going to try and make year on year.
Yeah, definitely deflation, like, because we started off the season so well. We got a win against Harps and then a draw against Cove, and we were kind of fighting for a while then, and we finally got another win against Wexford and then again against Athlone, and that's about the time that we found out about the deducted points. But it was definitely deflation for the game after, really, against Finn Harps, and then we lost to Cove again. I think that was really deflation loss, really, just at home.
Such a young manager as well, like.
Sorry?
He's such a young manager, like, you need to give it time.
Oh, exactly, yeah. Like, I don't think anyone's losing patience just yet now, especially after tonight now. And to have Conor McCarthy there, like, you know, he's been with us since the start. I think he was backroom staff first year. And then last year, we saw he was capable of great things with James Shukru against Bohemians and the likes. And I think now this year, we're actually established as a proper team that can win any game that's not just looking at, oh, maybe Longford and Athlone maybe this year. But, like, a win against Wexford and a technical win against Finn Harps, and then another win against UCD now, like, really established teams, and we're beating them, which is great, like.
Yeah, no, we'll keep an eye on what's happening down there, Luke. But thanks for jumping on. It's been great to hear from you, and great to hear from All Matters Kerry on League of Ireland Late Night. We'll talk to you again very soon, I'm sure.
Yeah. Thanks.
We will go next to Padraig Lennon, who is will give us the other side of what happened in the showgrounds tonight, I'm sure. Padraig, good evening. Welcome.
Thanks.
Hi, lads.
How you keeping?
All good. Just on the way home from Sligo.
Right. So what did you make of it from a Drogs perspective? Because that really does feel like 2 points dropped rather than a point gained.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing as well. The fact that you have a trip home that's punctuated by listening to LOI late night and being able to come on as well is pretty good.
It is, yeah. It was same as last week in Galway, yeah. I think we went 2-0 up. It all looked great, and just as after we scored, Doherty was bringing on the right back, Lamb, and Dougie, and he changed his mind for a moment. I'm not sure what happened over there, and their goal came from the Alicia was injured and he couldn't make a tackle. Fitzgerald was brilliant, cut it in, and it was all of a sudden it was 2-1, and Elding was outstanding. Fitzgerald for them was outstanding. They caused us all sorts of troubles. And I know we hit the post near the end from James Bulger, but Sligo fully deserved a point, yeah. And they could have won at the death as well. I thought the ball was going to hit the top corner from Fitzgerald. So, I think the most important thing from our perspective tonight was we didn't lose.
What's the ambition, Pádraig, there? Because, like, top of the table for a while, going in tonight, top of the table. It's interesting, the betting market's nearly made it a 50-50 match tonight as well. So, like, does this kind of, I guess, the guys who are, putting professional money on this, reckon Sligo and Drogheda are similarly well-matched, which is interesting. Sligo have scored more goals than Drogheda, even though they were bottom. What is the expectation of Drogheda? And obviously, you want to hold on to Kev Doherty as long as possible.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. But I think at the start of the season was just not to finish in the bottom two. We've a nice number of points on the board, and we hit a bit of a sticky patch, obviously, in Galway last week and tonight, conceding 4 goals. But again, we didn't lose any points on the bottom team. We're still 12 points ahead of them. So it's a decent gap. Cork at home on Monday. So, it's a game we would hope to win, but you just don't know in this league, as you know, lads. Every week it's something different. So, look, I don't know. We were all right, but I think when you're 2-0 up, you do expect to go on and win. But we didn't manage it well. Once they got the first goal, they were just mad for it, and it was very hard to contain Sligo, to be honest.
This league is so mad as well, Pádraig. If Drogheda happened to go on a somewhat bad run, it could be like in a few weeks, Drogheda are 6 points off bottom.
Exactly, yeah, that's exactly it. As I say, our only saving grace is that we have the 21 points in the bag, so it gives us a little bit of a breathing space for that. But I agree with you. Our next few games is after Cork. I think we're away to Rovers and away to Shells, yourself, like, their games you can come out with nothing, so it's hard to know, to be honest. With a few injuries again tonight, Paul Doyle was only on 4 minutes and he had another hamstring injury, so I guess he's out for a while. Darren Markey went off and Alicia went off, so I suppose Kev has to figure out what team he goes with on Monday and see can we beat Cork. They had a great point tonight with 10 men against Rovers, so it's Waterford, of course, winning again, so it's so tight. I mean, I think we're 6 points ahead of Waterford, our third last, so as you say, things can change extremely quickly.
Pádraig, the other big plus for me from you is every time I watch you, I think you look probably the biggest threat in the league from set pieces. You're just, I almost expect you to score nearly with every set piece that you get. And I think that's going to stand you massively. Like, I know there's, and you manage to turn a huge amount of situations into set pieces. Like, for the Conor Keighley goal, that free kick must be nearly in your own half, is it? Send everybody up into the box for it. Like, do you know what I mean? And you managed to turn it into a goal. You should have had a winner from a corner at the end. Bulger, I think, was it?
Hit the post, hit the post.
Yeah, like that side of your game will stand you massive.
Oh, most definitely. I mean, Keighley has 4 goals this season, from a centre half, absolutely fantastic, And Bulger was very unlucky for the OG. Nothing he could do. The ball was just kicked. Seemed to hit his trailing leg and could have went anywhere, but we're in the near post between the post and Dennison. But as you say, the three centre-halves are top players, and they get to goals. I agree with you totally. And up to the last couple of weeks, we were keeping clean sheets. It's it just sort of, I don't know if it's a sticky patch, but as you do, over the course of the season, I think our set pieces will stand to us and keep going that way, and as I say, see what happens Monday. And I think Dougie might get back in the team on Monday. and he seems to be sort of. I thought he did really well when he came on tonight. He posed a threat up front, so see what Doherty does on Monday and see does he start him. I suppose you have to get, you know, with the Friday Monday, you'll have to make some changes.
It's such a mad league, Shane Keegan, that Bowes lost at home to Waterford tonight, and it hasn't been a major talking point.
I know, and it's like crisis. Oh, he's the best thing since sliced bread, and then one defeat later, it's crisis again. Like, it's just. There's just
at home to Waterford as well, at home to Rennie's home team.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. Like, you know, he was, to be fair, after three wins in a row, you know, he was, you know, normally it wouldn't immediately go back into crisis if you lose a game, but home to Waterford, you know, like, that's not a good result. Like, Jesus, if this game had been before the three wins, it would have been the final nail in his coffin. Like, let's be honest. But thankfully, you know, they did manage to steady the ship and turn things around over the last few weeks. And, you know, you would think a lot of supporters who had the knives out put the knives away. But it's just a case of how quickly do they fucking pull them out again. Who the next? I'm just looking here very quickly. Yeah, yourselves, Johnny.
Yeah.
Galway, Sligo. Two, both away from home, two trips out west over the next two games. Like, they have to go and get points out there. They really do.
How many nails are in Rennie's coffin? This is what, 87 or so?
Yeah. Well, isn't no better man to avoid the nails.
Yeah. Well, we might hear from a Bowes fan now, because Cullum is joining here. Padraig, I'm sorry that got railroaded into a Bowes shot, but thanks for...
Not at all, lads. All right, thanks a million. Great show. Thanks a million.
Thanks a mil. Thanks for jumping on and safe home. Hopefully Kian will be able to join here in a couple of minutes. He's just connecting there. But yeah, it is mad, Shane, the difference a week makes. Yeah, as you say, Waterford, losing to Waterford is not a good result. Okay, I don't think we're going to get Cullum, but... before we wrap up, because we don't have oodles of time to go, I have to ask you, Shane, about Athlone, because this seemed like a really interesting week down at the club. I saw multiple reports on Tuesday. I think Johnny, yourselves had it. Dan had it on in the Independent, that it looked like there was a done deal about to get. They were on like the 1 yard line with this new deal for a takeover with Tiger 11, the group headed by Zach Goldman. It sounded like all three of Rory Higgins, Keith Long, and Ian Ryan all in to talks to get the manager's position. Now, we know now that Rory Higgins is going to Coleraine, so he's out of the running. But there was, it seemed, they've said that there was going to be a press conference on the Thursday to basically confirm all of this. Athlone came out last night that basically saying they're incredibly frustrated by what they call inaccurate reporting. The club insists that they never called the event, and on Thursday morning had to turn journalists away. So I know you were on Between the Stripes this week talking about it before all of this came out, but this is really interesting. What happened here?
It's a basket case. It really, Cameron, it's an absolute basket case. It really is. It's one of those I have been saying all along, even when I was told it was a done deal, I keep repeating, lads, I'll believe it when I see it. When the ink is dry on the forms, look, the people, there's sort of people involved in that loan at the moment, and I sometimes get the vibe that they won't be gone from a loan until they actually leave it in a coffin when their time comes and they pass away. But you know, you're led to believe that deals had been agreed and that ownership was going to change hands. I won't believe it till it's absolutely signed, sealed and delivered. But it is madness. It is absolute madness what's going on there. And all the same people were back involved on the bench. I'll be honest, I went having a look at what the makeup of the management team was tonight to see was there any signs of anything going on there. Look, by the way, it's also worth mentioning here that, like, whatever about what's been going on the men's side, like, you've got arguably the best women's side in the country. They've been there thereabouts consistently for the last couple of seasons. Obviously, they're brilliant under Kilduff last year, and are top of the table again this year. So I assume they would have to be part of any buyout. They could really do without all this instability going on in the background from their side of things as well. But I don't know. Listen, I'll be honest. I did that Between the Stripes on, when was that? That was, what, today is Friday. Hard to keep up with track. Things move so quickly there. But I think I did that Wednesday evening Thursday morning, I was talking to somebody involved in the whole deal who indicated that, yeah, the deal was going to go through that evening. And then the statement comes out in the evening and the wheels have, I don't know, have they completely gone off? Is it completely dead in the water or is it just a delay? I don't know.
No, it's
impossible to make sense.
The word I'd heard is that it was definitely from the buyer's side that they were maybe having a bit of reluctance. That's certainly what's been floating about. So maybe, I don't know, maybe they counted their chickens before they hatch. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, it is crazy, Johnny.
With
a lone town, you're not dealing with straightforward people. Like if they're talking about turning the journalists away, they could maybe talk about like fans who basically have been stopped going to games in Athlone. It's been such a strangely run club for a long, long time now. You could definitely write a book on that. It'd be just hard to get any information on it.
Don't be surprised, Cameron, if the reason the potential investors have had second thoughts is because there could be opportunity for them to invest elsewhere instead, still within the League of Ireland.
Ooh, suitably cryptic for a bank holiday weekend.
We'll leave it at that for the moment, yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe. James Keegan will be the manager of this new entity.
No, he certainly won't. James Keegan has his hands full enough, Johnny. Thank you.
Wow. So much intrigue. I love it. Love ending on a cliffhanger. Listen, lads, we'll probably leave it there for this evening. It's been a really good show once again. Thanks so much to everybody who called in. You guys run this show, so really appreciate all of you giving your thoughts this evening. Should go through what's happening over the weekend. So we've one game in the First Division tomorrow night. It is Longford Town against Wexford out at Bishop's Gate from 7:30. A full round of fixtures in the Women's Premier Division tomorrow. So Shamrock Rovers going to DLR Waves, making the long trip down there. Sligo Rovers take on Piemont United. It's Treaty United against Shelburne. All of those games underway at 3. At 5 o'clock, you've Cork against Bowes. It's a 6 o'clock start for the South East Derby between Wexford and Waterford. And leaders Athlone Town travel to Galway United for a 8:25 kickoff. Yes, Shane.
Just to jump back in here, some breaking news courtesy of friend of the show, or certainly friends of the people who are on the show. Dan McDonald, bit of breaking late night news. Understand that former Sligo Rovers boss John Coleman has been lined up to take over at Waterford. Danny Ventry coming in as his number 2.
Oh, wow.
I tell you what, if there's one thing more, Shane, and if this has happened, great, that the League of Ireland needs this year, it's John Coleman.
Well, as we mentioned earlier, there goes your chances of getting in at Waterford after the takeover, Shane, but we'll have to wait and see. Thank you so much for that. Wow, that's big news. So we'll leave it there. Never a dull moment on League of Ireland late night. By the way, speaking of the Women's Premier Division, definitely if you get the chance, I believe it's free everywhere, do have a listen to Rusha Littlejohn talking to Owen from last night's Off the Ball. It is absolutely fantastic. She is such an asset to have in the Women's Prem, and I'm sure it's not the last we've heard in terms of her voicing her support and criticism for some of the things happening in the state of women's football in this country. But definitely worth the listen if you get a chance over the bank holiday weekend. Next up for comms is Nathan Murphy and Vinnie Perth in Talla Stadium on Bank Holiday Monday. Live commentary of Shamrock Rovers against Sligo Rovers on News Talk from 7 o'clock on the Bank Holiday Monday. We'll have another show of League of Ireland Late Night for you next Friday. Until then, thank you very much, Shane Keegan, for that breaking news and for your valiant contributions as always.
Cheers, Cameron.
And Johnny Ward, thank you very much for joining us on what seems like the day of days for you.
Yeah, Moses did not lead me to the promised land. He led me to a Lewis that wasn't running.
Well, yeah, 40 more years in the desert for you. But we'll talk to you again. We'll talk to all of you again next week. Have a fantastic bank holiday weekend, the whole weekend. Hopefully the weather will persist over the next couple of days. And League of Ireland Late Night, of course, brought to you in a partnership with Rockshore on Off the Ball, a league of our own. Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.com. I.e. We'll talk to you again. Have a lovely bank holiday weekend, guys. We'll talk to you soon.
Off the Ball, in partnership with Rockshore, bringing you League of Ireland football, a league of our own.
Get the facts, be drink aware. Visit drinkaware.ie.
Psoriatic arthritis symptoms can be unpredictable.
I had joint pain and I couldn't move like I used to.
I needed relief.
I got Cosentyx.
It helped me move better.
Cosentyx secukinumab is prescribed for people 2 years of age and older with active psoriatic arthritis. Don't use if you're allergic to Cosentyx. Before starting, get checked for tuberculosis. An increased risk of infections and lowered ability to fight them may occur, like tuberculosis or other serious bacterial, fungal, or viral infections. Some are fatal. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms like fevers, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough, had a vaccine or plan to, or if inflammatory bowel disease symptoms develop or worsen. Serious allergic reactions and severe eczema-like skin reactions may occur. Learn more at 1-844-COSENTYX or cosentyx.com.
Ask your rheumatologist about Cosentyx.